Hello, everybody. JJ Cooper, Jeff Ponce, another Baseball America Prospect podcast. We are a day late this week. We apologize. At the same time, we're going to kind of try to explain on today's podcast the reason we were late. Both Jeff and I think we were the last two to file our last teams for the Baseball America 2026 Prospect Handbook. We don't want to admit what times we've been up to writing that. I know that Jeff beat me. Jeff's younger. So I think there was a 3 a.m. For Jeff recently. I'd have to shut it down around midnight and just get up early at like 6 a.m. and start writing again. But there are few better feelings, Jeff, aren't there, than when you've sinned on that last chapter that you're writing for a prospect handbook.
No, there are like very few things that are better. And I think the thing that's funny is the last couple of years I've had circumstances outside of my control, like the week that the handbook is due. Last year, my basement flooded in December, which has never happened. I had a sump pump issue and then had to actually like drain it, which was a bit of a nightmare. And then this year I got sick. So I lost a couple of days of writing more or less like Friday and Saturday. Before that, I was actually like on pace to probably have everything turned in by Sunday. I guess I needed, another day or so after that. But so a couple more days than I wanted it to be. But it's a fun process too. I would say that this to me is like fishing. Like you're kind of out there by yourself. You've done all this work. You got all your gear, which I think is like your scout notes, data. We have that stuff to support us. That's the fish finder, and your tackle box. And you're kind of out there and you're like, all right, now I'm going to go through synergy and I'm going to watch, all of the extra effort plays. Because I feel like those in particular are like a really good way.
Those are so fun.
And I think it's also like a microcosm of like, what are the capabilities of this player and what types of plays do they have to make those extra efforts on? So it's always very reflective of the quality of that player's defense, more often than not. And you'll get some extra effort throws in there just in terms of like, shortstops diving one way or the other and having to get up from a knee and make a throw. And like, that's the difference between a Jefferson Rojas and like a Merrick Houston. It's very clear when you watch those that there's a difference there. So I would also say it's my favorite process because we can really get into it. And I think, going through and just watching video of every player before I write them allows me to be just much more clear and focused and descriptive of what that player looks, moves, and plays like.
I completely agree with you. I'm not going to tell you it's not like, but this is what I was doing this morning. I just want to bring this up. It's great that there are DSL teams that actually broadcast their DSL games and with basically TrackMan data and everything. And that's, again, we're just very lucky that we get to do this, that this is our job, is that we're sitting there. And so I'm sitting there watching Tigers DSL video this morning, just to get that little bit more of like, okay, let me paint the picture of the player. You're not just getting reports on them, but you're trying to paint the picture, tell the story. And it is kind of like that, to kind of also summarize this, we are recording this. It is 8:30 on December 17th. We will have the book sent to the printer next Monday. So we are basically 5 days away. And the goal is, we're not making this an ad, but we are trying to inform you that the idea of today is, what is the prospect handbook? Because we talk about it a lot. Obviously, it's the coverage that we also use at baseballamerica.com. But the prospect handbook is the culmination of all this work we're doing, where we're trying to put together scouting reports on the top 30 prospects in all 30 organizations. And then we also have, we'll get into this, but rankings, BA grades, risk, 20 to 80 tools grades on all 900 players. We have position rankings. So if you want to see how the first baseman line up, how the shortstops line up, how the third baseman line up, all that. Then we have org talent rankings in there as well. It's what we put together that kind of is the culmination. This is our book that you can have in your hand and basically at a minor league game and kind of know who to. Okay, this, you'll have a little thumbnail scouting report on all the key players who are at that game. That's the goal of it. And what I would also kind of say with that is We filed our last teams on December 17th. This will be sent out to the printer in 5 days. And my goal is to have it, if you ordered it through Baseball America, my goal, fingers crossed that I can get this done, is to have it sent out, a digital version of it, to all purchasers through Baseball America before Christmas. So December 23rd, 24th. I always say before. That gives you that little wiggle room. If I send it out at 11:50 on December 24th, which is probably not a good thing I'm doing with my family if I'm doing that. But if I did, I still hit that window. But the goal is that you will have it in your hand. So that's how we kind of work on this. But we do come down to the wire. We did a really fun tools grade vetting meeting today. Found out which ones have 80 grade tools. There are a few in the book. And then on the flip side of that, which have 20 and 30 grade tools, and learn from that, that I'm pretty mean, I guess, because a lot of the 20s and 30s were me. And that's where I kind of wanted to start this with. So I did, again, I wanted to put this up. If you want to, you go to store over at baseballamerica.com, purchase the book. Again, if you purchase from us, I will be sending you, and I do mean me, I will be emailing you a digital PDF copy of it, password protected. I always want to note that for people. It's not for sharing. It's for the person who purchased it. And you will have to enter that password. And I do want people to know that too, because sometimes someone says, I have to enter this password. It's like, yes, I'm sorry. That's how we do it. But Jeff, I'm going to ask you, because we're trying to make this, we want this to be welcome people in, right? We're not trying to use terminology and just say you should know it. 20 to 80 scale, when we talk about that, which we use throughout this book, well, I'm happy to help too, but I'll throw that to you. Kind of explain to people what we're doing, why, what we're meaning with the 20 to 80 scouting scale.
Yeah. So, you know, I think the best way to sort of describe it is the measurement scale on which scouting tools and overall player grades, right, for their actual role, is put on this scale. And as opposed to it being 0 to 100, you sort of eliminate that bottom 20 and that top 20, and you stay within 20 to 80, 50 being sort of the pivot point of the standard or average, and you move up from there. And there's corresponding language that goes with each grade. More or less, there's, I'll say, bigger tiers. The majority of the tiers within each of these areas are by tens. And then there's sort of half pivot points in the 30 to 40 range, so 35. And then from the 45 to 50, excuse me, the 40 to 50 range at 45. And then from 50 to 60 at 55, we do have 65s. There's some debate as to whether that's a standard or not, or actually tracks back to, you know, the scientific method that this was all sort of founded on. And then there's, as I mentioned, language that goes along with it. So below average is a 40. Well below average or poor is a 30. Bottom of the scale, or like a non-factor, is a 20. And then as we go, 50 being average, fringe average would be 45. So just that little bit below the average. Above average is a 55 plus, which is a term that I'm sure most of our listeners are familiar with at this point. That's a 60. Double plus is 70. And then top of the scale or elite is 80.
I'm going to put up another little visual aid here. So blame Branch Rickey if you're like, why is it 20 to 80? Branch Rickey, yeah, who was the basically ran the Cardinals and then the Dodgers and then the Pirates, but he kind of developed the, as best we understand, the 20 to 80 scale. And if you're looking at this and going, I didn't know that there was going to be math in the Prospect podcast, if you're watching the video version, if you're watching the podcast, if you're listening to it, we're showing the standard deviation scale. And the whole idea is that the mass of our grades are going to end up, you're talking about the massive major leaguers will reside between 40 and 60, right? Average is actually where the majority of players, again, we will note here, at the major league level reside, right? If you're talking about a minor league team, if you're watching a minor league game, there are tens. You know, we don't use that grade, but there are 10. There are 10 hitters in a DSL game. There are, because what we're talking about, this is all on the major league scale, right? We are projecting out. We're not talking about that an 18-year-old, when you say what they project to, we're throwing what we think they will be eventually. But when you talk about a present tool, if you said, what is a DSL, your run-of-the-mill Dominican Summer League hitter or your run-of-the-mill Florida Complex League hitter, they're tens. Like if you plucked that player and said, I've got news for you. You are batting, you know, ninth for the Dodgers tomorrow night or the Cubs or whoever. And you say, you're going to give you 500 plate appearances. You're not going to hit 220, 230. No, you're probably going to hit 150, 130. That's going to be below the scale, but that's the 20 to 80 scale. And we use that. Give you a little sneak peek here of one of the players, and we've actually already made a change to this. But so we've got Connor Griffin, for example. And Connor Griffin, right now, and again, we've got a graphic here that we're still updating for the book because we just had our meeting and we said, you know what? Who, by the way, Connor Griffin has the best overall tools grades in the book, as you might expect. We have him with a 60 hit. So plus hit, 70 power, plus power. Originally, we had him 70 run. We've gone back. We've checked, done more reporting, done more analysis. 80 run, so top of the scale run, plus field, 60 field, plus, or a 70 arm. Which, Jeff, I'll just start by saying, like, that's our number one prospect in the game. We're giving away the farm here on the letting you know that, like, he will be our number one prospect when the top 100 rolls out, barring something utterly unexpected. You know, if, I don't know. You know, I don't know what would have to happen, you know, for Connor Griffin. I fear what would have to happen for Connor Griffin not to be our number one prospect because there is nothing other than
bad. We're going to a dark place right now.
Right. There's nothing other than bad things happening that I don't want to think about. So, but when you look at those tools grades there, that's where this gets really fun, isn't it? Because that is incredibly loud. When we talk about Connor Griffin.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I think my first handbook was entering the 2022 season. And so that was the Adley, Witt, Julio Rodriguez group. And if Connor Griffin was, you know, transported, you know, via Marty McFly and Doc Brown's, you know, time traveling machine and plopped right there in 2022 at the same age, he would be in the debate with those guys. And I honestly think that there's a chance that he might've gotten votes over Adley Rutschman and might even be the best of that group. Now, I think he compares to what Bobby Witt is, and going back, Bobby Witt probably would have been our clear one there. But we always said it was a 1A, 1B, 1C sort of situation. And I think that, you know, Griffin is right there with those guys and might even be able to stake a claim that he could be a tad better. It's really interesting just because I think he has all the loud tools, power, and speed, and we even have metrics now that we can track back and sort of say that this is accurate. He has all that part of Bobby Witt's game with a much better hit tool, and I think he's got a better hit tool than Julio did too. So I think you look at a player like this, the fact that he is a plus shortstop like Bobby Witt and can be a better center fielder or as good of a center fielder as Julio Rodriguez, who's a pretty good center fielder, I think that says a lot. He is a very exciting prospect, and it is some of the loudest tools that we've seen.
It's when you say that it's something. Yeah. So by the way, I'm working to do this while we're doing this, but to just give a little comparison, we're going to pop another little graphic up here. Sorry if you're listening to this on the podcast, I will describe it. But there was Mr. Bobby Witt Jr. in 2022, I should say. And we had him 60 hit, 70 power, 70 run, which should have been 80 in hindsight, 60 field, 60 arm. Great comparison. We're basically talking about effectively the same grades. You know, in hindsight, right now we had 70 run on Witt. We're saying we had 70 run on Griffin. We've got a little more data now. We're more comfortable saying 80. In hindsight, Witt is an 80 runner. But the thing about it is that, like you said, the hit tool's tough to project. At the time, Witt looked like a six. He's ended up being an eight. You know, he's ended up being battling for batting title in 2024. At the minimum, you would say he's a seven hit. And that's the kind of thing we're talking about. But that's what's also, when we talk about this, what's kind of awesome about this is that we do this every year. And so if you buy your prospect handbooks every year, you can make those comparisons too, like I just did. If you say, well, how does he compare to Bobby Witt Jr.? Grab your 2022 prospect handbook and look. And, you know, or you're like, okay, and again, this is a little bit further back. We have added to what we're doing, but, oh, so how does he compare with Mike Trout, who was our, you know, was in the this is the 2012 prospect handbook. Trout was a 70 hit, 65 power, 80 speed, 70 defense, 50 arm. So, okay, we thought Trout was a little bit better hitter with a little less power and same speed and some and a little better defense. That's what we're talking about here, is you can compare these players. By the way, we had Trout. That was the first year we did BA grades. We had him a 75 low.
For all the parents out there with teenagers like Kratz, we know life's a little crazy.
Yeah, Cash App's here to not add to the craziness. They're here to help.
Yeah, Kratz, Cash App is designed to meet teens aged 13 to 17 where they are with intuitive educational tools. Available through sponsorship by an eligible parent or guardian, teens gain access to a personalized Cash App card. With the Cash App card, you and your teen's balances receive 24/7 fraud monitoring, and if something ever feels off, you have the ability to lock their card right from your phone in just one tap. Download Cash App and get started today. For a limited time, new Cash App customers can earn $10 if they use code FAMILY10 in their profile at signup and send $5 to a friend within 14 days. Terms apply. Cash App is a financial services platform, not a bank. Banking services provided by Cash App's bank partners, prepaid debit cards issued by Sutton Bank, member FDIC, direct deposit and promotions provided by Cash App, a Block Inc. brand. Visit cash.app/legal/podcast for full disclosures.
That's a perfect segue to the other part of this is we have tools grades for every player in the book, but we also do BA grades and risk. And that's the other part. That's the key part that I do think it's worth us explaining to people. I'm going to bring back up Connor Griffin as an example here. Connor Griffin, we have as a 75 average. Let me again tell you, that is rarefied air. So a 75, an 80, we just talked about, is the top of the scale. An 80, if we throw an 80 on a player as far as their BA grade, we are saying that they're reasonable, likely outcome, ceiling of their outcome, but an attainable one is to be an eight is basically their Bobby Witt Jr., their Aaron Judge, their Juan Soto. That, you know, there are eights. That's a Hall of Fame player. That is a player that, like, when we talk about Aaron Judge right now, and you say, you don't say, is Aaron Judge a Hall of Fame player? If Aaron Judge stopped playing today with much of his career to go, if Shohei Ohtani stopped playing today, Hall of Fame player. That's what we're talking about, the eights. Sevens are, there are 70s, you know, roll seven players in the Hall of Fame. There are absolutely plenty of them. We are saying that you, I mean, we're really saying with there, with Connor Griffin, we are saying, you know, we're thinking that he's very potentially a Hall of Fame player. But there's the other part of it there too. And again, that goes down to, we have 30s in 35s, you know, 40s in the book. But this is where this gets tricky again, Jeff, and I'll kind of kick it back to you, which is we also have, we have the risk there. So we have average risk. We've tweaked that this year. We have basically from the top down, we have extreme risk. An extreme risk player is I just wrote up a player for the Tigers who is a high school pitcher who was an 11th round pick, River Hamilton, who needs had Tommy John surgery this summer. So he is a high school pitcher who was projectable but a little risky, maybe, who also has a serious injury that he's coming back from. That's extreme risk. You wrote up players, I'm sure, in the Dominican Summer League who have yet to come to the U.S., who have some really good, exciting tools and some flaws. That's extreme risk. We are saying with those kind of players, that they could be really good, but there's also a lot of pitfalls ahead of them. This is a teeter-totter, right? If you said 80 low would be the, you know, let's say 80 mild, because that's the risk, that's the grade that we use the most. 80 mild would be that there's a very moderate risk of this player failing to be an 80. That would be as loud as you could get. We just said there that, like, the grade we used back then, 75 low for Mike Trout was, as we were saying, we think Mike Trout will be a Hall of Famer, and we think it's a pretty high likelihood he will reach that outcome. Yeah. Most of the players in the book are in between the extreme and the mild at the bottom. In between, we have high risk, and I would say, you know, high risk is the players who are further away, have some kind of significant flaw that they have to solve. Maybe they are a pitcher with control problems and great stuff. Maybe they're a hitter who needs to learn to stop chasing, things like that. Average risk, and then we get to, you know, we get down to the mild. And then, you know, but Jeff, when you talk, when you're kind of balancing this, and the funny thing about this is where you set the BA grade, the role, and the risk kind of do go, you can kind of like, they kind of like hit and power, right? When we talk about hit and power, there are players where you're like, that guy could be a 55 hit 40 power, or he could be a 40 hit 55 power. Both of them just depends on which he decides to do. There's a little bit of that when you're setting these BA grades and risk as well, isn't there?
Yeah, I think, you know, there's some balancing act between the two grades and tools, I think, as well. Like, your ability to get to power is very much influenced by your hit tool. So there are times where guys have 60, even 70, sometimes even 80 raw power, but they don't make a lot of contact. And when they do, it's like bad directionally. So a lot of topspin, or kind of like a Dylan Cruz problem where it's a lot of like center oppo contact, you know, and it's more line. So like, there's some of that stuff, I think, baked into, especially now that we have a much better understanding of kind of what makes guys great power hitters. All that stuff is sort of baked into it. I think, you know, conversely, it's the same with a hit tool, that a guy who doesn't hit the ball very hard, but hits the ball a lot and maybe even walks a lot, there's only so high that hit tool can go. There is some limiting factor where you do at least need to kind of have like averages power in EVs. And I think a perfect example is our number two prospect, who in a lot of other years would have been a slam dunk number one prospect. And I think it's a credit to him that we just talked about, you know, Connor Griffin the way we did. I'm talking about Kevin McGonigal, that he's in that category. This is probably one of the best hit tools we've seen. And it's a perfect balance. 80. Exactly. 80. I was going to let you say that because it's your grade. It's a perfect balance of bat to ball ability, swing decisions, and it's, you know, passivity outside of the zone and aggressiveness inside of the zone. It's that balance. When we say swing decisions, it doesn't mean just not chasing. A lot of it is also attacking the right pitches. And then his ability to pull the ball and hit the ball hard in the air, he sort of can do all the things that you need to be able to do to be a really good, well-rounded hitter. And so his power ability actually is what separates his hit tool for me from a lot of other guys that had very similar plate skills, where it's like he's got these plate skills and he's still able to do impact and, you know, hit the ball at good angles and all that sort of stuff, which is, there's usually some give and take there. In order to hit the ball hard at good angles, you usually have to give up a little bit of contact or a little bit of approach.
It's so the BA grade and the risk, we take those and we have kind of an adjustment that we make. So you see here, we have an adjusted grade for Connor Griffin of 65. And this understandably trips a lot of people up. Some people are like, so you're saying that he will be a 65, not a 75 down the road. No, that's not really what we're saying. We're not saying he's going to be a 65 hitter because of this. No, what we're saying here is every player, we just talked about, has a balance of role and risk. And this allows us as we try to do this, to properly rank role players and risky potential regulars together, right? Every good organization has some players in it who, Connor Griffin is the example of, that's a close to the majors potential star. But obviously, very few players in each year are potential stars. Connor Griffin is a star, but you have role players who are very valuable as well. Your relievers who are going to pitch the sixth and seventh, your backup infielder who's going to play some second, some short, some third. You don't just want to ignore those players and say, hey, we're going to rank every player with a 5% shot in the, you know, coming out of the Florida Complex League with a 5% shot to be a regular, and we're going to ignore the AAA guy who's not ever going to be a regular. No, those could be a 40 mild, and our adjustments are a 45 mild, let's say. Extreme means you get a, for the adjusted grade, you get a 20-point deduction, right? So if you're a 60 extreme, your adjusted grade is a 40. If you're a 45 mild, your roll grade is way less. We're saying 60 extreme is, again, the example of the pitcher who's in the complex league who has really good stuff but hasn't shown that they can throw 100 innings or close to it yet, hasn't shown that they can go through a lineup a second, you know, much less a third time, and probably hasn't shown yet that they can really land their breaking ball for strikes or they can throw their fastball where they want it, all those kind of things. It's a really promising teenager with a high upside, but we've been doing this long enough, Jeff, both you and I know, a lot of those guys are the guys who we're going to kind of shake our head about a few years later. Then there's the guy who's like, not exciting, right? He's just going to be useful. Not great, but a useful big leaguer. That 45 mild can rank above or below a 60 extreme because they have the same adjusted grade. The vast majority of top, but not the top 5-10 picks in the draft, but like we used to call it the 50 high line. Now we've adjusted it to try to make it more accurate. This made a grade adjustment, risk adjustment this year, 50 average. That means that you have, not that you are a 50% shot of being a 50, that would be a little much, but you are the standard, you have a standard amount of risk and a role potential of being a big league, solid big league, to use an old term, first division regular. There's a lot of those in the book. You're going to have that. That's going to be everyone who ranks from really like 200 to probably 450, 500 of the 900 players in the book. There's going to be a lot of those. But that 50 average is the same as a 55 high or a 60 extreme or a 45 mild, to kind of just give you that idea. All of those players fit within that. Then you're going to, so again, what we do with the book though is if you want to really like, hey, I'm really more interested in the high upside risky guys, well, I would recommend first flip to the Marlins chapter. That'll be a good one for you to go to. But you can go through each chapter and see who are the players who do that. Or if you want to see who are the players who are more like, which is the safer organization to produce talent, you can do that. The whole idea of it, Jeff, right, is that it allows us to compare, and we've just been doing this ourselves. As we've said, like you don't know how the top 100 exactly is going to come out. You look at the prospect handbook, you look at baseballamerica.com, where we have the top 10s up now for all 30 teams. You got a pretty good idea because the adjusted grades is what we use as well when we're doing this.
Yeah. And that's sort of the marker of it, right? I mean, there's obviously, but it at least gives you the tiers, right? If you were to calculate all that up, or, you know, tab it all up in a spreadsheet from all the top 10s, you could probably come up with a pretty close to accurate list as to what our top 100 is going to look like. And we've already told you what 1 and 2 are. So then it's just a matter of figuring out who's, you know, in that top, that next top tier, and so on and so forth. And yeah, I think it's useful. And I think this year, with kind of an expanded risk spectrum for us to pick from, really allowed us to have smaller tiers of players. Even I noticed that, at least as we were going through grades in the 11 to 30 ranges, that it felt like there was more breakup within those, and the same when we were doing the positional rankings for the book.
So that is the Baseball America Prospect Handbook. We've been producing it now for 20, this will be the 26th edition, 25 year, 2020, 2001. We've been doing it basically for the entirety of the 21st century. I have not been involved. Matt Eddy can say he's been involved in every single one of them. I missed two. I showed up in 02, but I mean, I could claim 02. I proofed some pages in 02. So I can say that there's only one of these prospect handbooks that I didn't have at least touch in the production process, but really it's 2003 before I really started doing any work on. Jeff's been doing it for a while now, and basically we're sitting there again. We're going through the fun part of it, as we just talked about, going through it and kind of making sure that every grade is right. I mean, we're talking granular. We're talking, okay, wait, I think that sweeper grade is a 5 points off, or I think that he doesn't run that well, or is that field grade right? We try to do that for everyone in the book as best we can, and we try to proof every page of the book as best we can. I know that there'll be something that sneaks through. It's going to really anger me when it happens, but we hope you do enjoy it. And again, if you go to baseballamerica.com, I'll have a link here in the show notes, but if you go to baseballamerica.com, you can order a handbook. And if you order for Baseball America, not the other places where you can get it in March. I mean, that's when it'll be out. But if you order it from us, I will send you a PDF. You will have it in your hands, hopefully, again, in 2025. Let me just say that to give a little bit of wiggle room, but you will have it this year. And my plan is to send it to you next week. But before we go, we're back to our normal schedule here. We're not talking about the Rule 5. So we've got Prospect Soapbox. And Jeff, we're going to... Our rules, we're going to make it a little tougher for us both today. We've always said that we're not going to use top 100 prospects, but this is a prospect handbook edition of the show. So we're not going to do anyone who's in a top 10, whose report is already up at baseballamerica.com. It's got to be someone else. So who is your non-top 10? So we're going a little bit further down the spectrum. Who's your non-top 10 prospect you want to talk about?
Yeah, I'm going to talk about Lucas Spence, outfielder from the Astros. And I'll say the Astros system, they were the last team where the top 10 was released. So we just did the chat on Tuesday. So yeah, yesterday. It's been a long
time. Feels like about 4 days ago with the way we're going right now.
Sort of does. But Spence was a player that, I at least had followed and watched a little bit during the season. Was a non-drafted free agent that they had signed in 2024 out of Southern Illinois, Edwardsville. Spent 2 years at Black Hawk JC. And this is one of the best parts of writing the handbook, is kind of getting to know some of these guys' backgrounds. And so many of these prospects maybe end up, this guy didn't at an SEC school, but end up at a bigger D1 school. Can start at D2s or can start at JUCOs.
Or D3s. I wrote up a D3 to D1.
Yeah, exactly. So it's kind of interesting to learn their past. He was a two-way guy, was an all-regional guy as JUCO, had a huge year, went unselected. Astros end up signing him, and he's really tooled up. Really, really good bat-to-ball skills. Great on base ability, which is kind of a core tenet of like all Astros hitting prospects. They all seem to have pretty good swing decisions. Whether they can make contact or not is another conversation. This guy can. There's good underlying EVs, and maybe could get even a little bit better with some cleaned up angles. He did actually add a little bit more loft when he moved up to high A, and then got to double A by the end of the season. This is a guy that, like I said, just signed out for the 2024 draft. He's a plus runner, maybe double plus. I did get, some like 4 second run times on him. So technically you could put a 7 on it. More consistently a 6. Plays center field, really good out there. And he was a two-way player in college and a pitcher with a good arm who threw hard. He's got a 60 arm out there, and it gets really nice online carry from deep in the outfield, keeps runners honest. He's one of those players that as you dig into more and more of the tape, the data, the scouting conversations with, particularly scouts outside the organization, and then just sort of hearing about the makeup and all that sort of stuff internally, I really kind of fell in love with the player and was like, this is a really good player. This is a potential everyday regular that they signed as, you know, an undrafted free agent. It's very rare that you see somebody like that. And he's fairly polished and tooled up. You don't kind of see that combination either. Do I think he's going to make any all-star teams? No, but, you know, could have a nice big league career for a very long time.
I've got one of those too. A little bit more prominent kind of coming out, but John Peck with the Tigers. I could have gone with Jack Penny, another Tigers middle infield prospect, but John Peck, basically 2023 draftee, have had people with the Tigers kind of say, you know, like he's kind of interesting, and then kind of got that feedback from the outside in the reporting on this as well. Like, hey, really bear down on John Peck. The funny thing is like, if you look at his surface level stats, he hit 300 this year. And so you may be like, oh, so this is an offense first middle infielder. I actually think that he may have outperformed his ability. Like if you look under the hood, when you talk to evaluators about him as a hitter, there's a little bit of question about his contact ability, just draw walks, but like getting to power, all that. What really kind of stands out about him is that, to go back to what you said, like pull up the synergy, watching games of him, watching him in the field at shortstop, second base, and third base. And at all three of them, he's really athletic. He's really got, like, when we talk about hands a lot, but one of the ways I would say with hands is like, I was watching Trey Cruz, another middle infield Tigers prospect. They got a lot of them, but like Trey Cruz is an infielder, but he went to the outfielder and he kind of plucked a couple of balls out of the air at the wall, where it's like the hands that just aren't normal to see, you know, like the kind of really good hands. Penny, though, the main thing with Penny, he's got a good arm, but it's the speed of his release. He goes from ball in glove to ball out of the hand so fast that I really do think it's almost like a half grade of an arm, because you will see some guys and it's like, yes, they've got a cannon, but you can almost hear like the winding up is like, it's like powering up to be up fire. He's the opposite. He's like, basically as soon as the ball's in his glove, it's out of his hand. And that helps him make plays where you're like, I didn't think you're going to be able to make that play. Peck is one of those guys where you're like, I don't know how all the Tigers middle infielders, like the Tigers have to, I expect them to make trades this offseason, because to just lay out middle infielders who would seemingly, you've got Glaber is the second baseman because he signed the tender. Zach McKinstry and let's just say probably McKinstry, you know, is the main third baseman. If you say that Baez/Sweeney is the shortstop, and again, they could be other, or maybe it's McGonagall at one of these positions or whatever. But then they also have Colt Keith, who, okay, maybe he plays more, but you got Torque at first. Keith is kind of, you know, Keith's in this mix too. Then you've got Jace Young. Don't forget about him. Then you got Hau-Yu Lee. And then you got Trey Cruz, who they just added to the 40-man. And then you've got McGonagall. And you've got Max Anderson, who also was in Double-A. All these guys
Valencia too, right, is also an infielder.
Well, he's a first baseman / catcher / DH. Yeah. So I'm talking about second baseman, shortstop, third baseman. All these guys play those two, and really most of them don't play shortstop. There's just no room to fit all of those guys at AAA or above. So it'll be interesting to see how they clear it up. I say that because John Peck is basically Double-A ready. And if you said, though, of all these guys, like him and Trey Cruz, of the guys that we're talking about in the minor leagues, yes, Bryce Rayner's coming. Fran Yerber, Montilla is coming. Those guys are further away. Angel De Los Santos even further away. But if you're talking about the shortstops, those are the true shortstops you're talking about, because Peck can really pick it. So that's my prospect soapbox, my little sleeper for the day. We wanted to also give you a little heads up on our schedule. Our plan, you know, we got holidays coming up. You know, we're going to try to turn the knob down a little bit. We've been working until 3 a.m, but our plan is that we're going to try to record a couple of podcasts kind of in advance that we'll schedule to go. So we're going to try to have one for next week and then the week after. Probably the initial plan right now is we're going to look back at 25 in our initial one. Maybe we'll do kind of an awards of the year, or we'll do kind of, you know, something like that. And then our next one, we'll look into 26. I think we'll have a lot of fun with that as well. But we do thank you for joining us here on the Baseball America Prospect Podcast. We do hope that you enjoyed our explanation. You know, I can try to pull it back a little bit, explain the Prospect Handbook, explain how we grade players. I will give you one other little sneak peek on the video. Yes, there you go. That is what a number one report looks like. That is the Connor Griffin report as currently constructed, subject to change because we are still editing. But that gives you an idea of what it looks like if you are on the YouTube channel and watching the video. So for Jeff, I'm JJ. Thank you for joining us. Subscribe, like, and leave a comment. So long, everybody.